Ever wonder how a Comic-Con comes together? Here are two guys that know, because it's what they do every day. It's the Con Men Podcast. Now for a possible breakdown on where it all went wrong in Game of Thrones, it's Greg Adams and Puff.
It's the Con Men Podcast, and it is a special Christmas edition.
Ho, ho, ho.
For more than one reason. Greg Adams over here, Puff over there. A real quick overview of who we are and what we do. We are the people behind GeekedCon, which is Shreveport's Comic-Con. It's Shreveport, Louisiana. We do it every August at the Shreveport Convention Center. I feel like I said Shreveport a lot there.
Well, you say this every week, even though it's in the description on the...
I know, but I never know when it's somebody's first time randomly listening. So I feel like every time we need to explain what's going on.
But it's already written out there for him. You brought me in. You made me quit watching Doom Patrol for this.
Not everybody reads. I think you're giving a lot of people a lot more credit.
Podcast users are smarter than your average bear, damn it.
Okay, you can continue to believe that. But basically what we do is we have a podcast where we talk about some of the inner workings of a Comic-Con, because as we've learned, there are a lot of people who are fans of these events or just general curious minds who want to know why some decisions are made. There are some people who are thinking about starting their own Comic-Con style event, and hopefully we can advise. What?
I just said don't. If you're thinking about it, don't.
No, that's not true. You can actually do this and have a lot of fun doing it. You just have to make sure that you know what to do and stick to your guns and stick to your budget, more importantly.
Yeah. And then it'll drive you mentally insane, and then you'll be, oh God, I got turned down by this guy, and now I got to go find another guy. It's a whole thing.
I actually don't think that's any part of even close to being the worst part of it.
We go through that for about 3 months every year,
and then we
start stressing about money, and then
always stressing about money.
Yeah, well,
money is the consistent stress. So, if money is a stress for you, then this might not be the avenue. But that's why we do this too, because hopefully we can talk through some things that otherwise might sneak up and hit some people and they weren't prepared for it. So some of our previous episodes, if you haven't listened before, if this is your first one, we cover some of those topics and we'll continue to cover them moving forward. But that's basically the idea of what we do. But like we said, our main focus is always GeekedCon. So today, as a Christmas episode, we're going to talk heavily about GeekedCon because we've got a couple of things to take care of.
Yeah, we're going to give you a little Christmas present. Actually, a couple little Christmas presents. We got some dates and we got some things.
Yeah, I guess let's actually talk about the dates first, because the dates are maybe the easiest part. So what we are doing is on our social medias and everything for Christmas, we are announcing the big dates that GeekedCon attendees need to be looking for in 2020.
Dates that matter.
The first one of those is going to be actually January 1st, which is effectively the opening for 2020 vendors. I think we've talked about vendors a little bit in the past, and we may have mentioned that one of the things we're doing to help our vendors out is every single year vendor prices, not every year, most of the time vendor prices have to go up because the cost of running events go up. We have made it so last year's vendors can lock into last year's prices before the 2020 vendor season starts.
Yep.
So on 1-1, the vendor season will start for 2020, which means 2020 prices will go into effect even for last year's vendors.
Yeah, so this is coming out on Christmas Eve, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, then you still get, if you're a previous vendor, buy your stuff now before it's too late.
You're the one in charge of that, and you're asking me.
Yeah, I get confused.
Okay, so January 1st, that is one of the first big dates. Then on March 6th and March 7th, we will be teaming with our local hockey team, the Shreveport Mudbugs, to have a weekend of puck wars on the ice.
Dun, da, da, dun, da, da. Wait, that's Superman. That's
yeah,
Star
yeah,
Wars.
You're doing Superman. Yeah, yeah. So basically lightsabers, light speed, and guest announcements, because we will be making guest announcements with the Shreveport Mudbugs. So, and hopefully some cosplay, too. That'll be a lot of fun. And then the Monday after that, March 9th, we will start a week of guest announcements. So,
are we waiting until March?
March 9th through the 13th, we will be hitting a lot of big guest announcements, because then on March 13th, tickets will go on sale for GeekCon 2020.
That makes sense.
And then we'll probably have a couple of other dates added to the calendar, but the next big date will come up on August 20th, which will be our second annual GeekCon Wizards Ball.
Oh, they're so fun.
So we will have a Wizards Ball on Thursday, August 20th.
Beer, wizards, goblins, what's not to like?
And then the day after that, of course, will be the kickoff for GeekCon 2020, August 21st.
God, that seems like it's not that far away.
It really doesn't. Like, when you look at the numbers and you think, oh, maybe that's going to be... That's going to be too far in advance. Like, oh, man, that's like almost a year. But it's really not. When you start thinking about, like, we're laying out the dates now. We're looking at, well, tickets go on sale in March, and then we've got a couple other events that, you know, may not be on the calendar right now, but there are things working for the summer. Plus, we've got a lot of friends who are doing shows.
Oh, yeah.
Between now and then.
Just to name one, and then there's a couple other
Greater Austin Comic Con. Yep. There's going to be a couple of shows in Dallas. There's going to be a lot of shows between now and then. So it may look like it's a ways away, but it's going to be here before you know it.
Just remember, it seems like we just saw the first Star Wars trailer for the new movie like a week ago, and the film's already out.
Yep, so there is that.
Time flies, kids.
And so that brings us to really the second topic. This might be a quick episode, too, because we're burning through a lot of what we had to talk about.
We can stretch.
We can. So I guess let's talk about the idea behind guest announcements. We may have touched on this very briefly before, maybe with our episode talking about dates at length. But if you are somebody who is a fan of Comic-Con events, you might wonder why sometimes certain guests are announced in a certain order or why the dates are weird. Like, we have some events that are happening around the same time as ours next year.
Mm-hmm.
And they had guests announced months ago. They're announcing guests almost a year in advance. There are some shows who, as soon as they come to an agreement with a particular guest, they announce them right away.
Yep.
Like, if the agreement, if the ink is dry on a contract, they're putting together their social media announcement and they're firing away. And some guests are requiring being booked a year in advance.
Yep. We've had a few people that we tried to get and we're like, yeah, you know, you guys are like missed the window. We're already booked up. So, yeah. And the other weird thing is a lot of guys, as soon as it gets on their calendar, they just put it out there. So if you book a guest, you know, they might announce it as soon as literally the email hits their box on Twitter or whatever. So it's, you got to stay out in front of that stuff.
Yeah, which we try our best to do that. And sometimes we have been in a position to where as soon as we have a guest booked, like if we're in close proximity to the event, as soon as we have a guest booked, we will announce. But in most cases, we try to sit down and look at the grand scheme of things and try to sort out what the best order would be, or who goes with what kind of announcement should be made when. Now, because we've been in a position to work 12 months a year on this, we've been in a position to work early on this, which isn't really early now. Part of the reason that we're in that position is because we are running into more and more guests who are saying, I want to be booked. If I'm doing something in August, I want to be booked in December. If I'm doing something in August, I need to be booked in November.
With the amount of cons out there now, that there's more demand on these guys, so they clearly have to figure out their schedule, when they want to take vacations, all that stuff. So you got to start the process super early.
Now, that's not saying you have to, because there are guests who also don't want to book until 3 weeks out from an appearance. So there's a delicate balance.
You got to put out feelers at the very least, see what the situation is, read a temperature, and then go from there.
Yeah, and so we're in a position right now where we're going to make guest announcements for a Christmas present. We have enough agreements in place and enough planning that's been put into it to where we are able to make guest announcements for Christmas for our event in August, which, again, there are some that are the same month as we are in 2020 who made guest announcements a month or two ago. And I'm actually just catching up on some of those. I didn't realize it was already happening. They weren't on my radar yet. And then I went to look at it and went, wow, wait a second. These people are already gone. And as we've heard from a lot of agents, as we're working on this year's lineup, there are people who are already gone for our weekend. Yep. They're already booked at other shows.
Yep.
So we know that we're slightly behind the eight ball in some cases, but we have done enough due diligence. We've done enough work to where we are capable of making announcements for Christmas presents.
So you mean there will be a show in 2020? Oh, we just didn't put it on a calendar and it's not going to happen?
There will be a show. And I guess if we want to go ahead and make our first guest announcement, you want to do that now?
Sure.
Now, depending on when you're listening to this, this guest announcement may have already been made. You may have already seen it on Facebook. You might already know. What
was that? I'm just making shooting noises.
Okay.
It'll make sense here in a minute.
All right, you do you over there. So the first guest announcement that we made or will make, again, don't know when you're listening to this, from the Marvel Universe, from the movie, the biggest movie in history, from Avengers Endgame. It is the biggest box office movie of all time. You had a little look over there you were trying
fair.
To think.
That's fair.
No, but it is. Yeah. I mean, it's not just fair. It's fact. It's the biggest box office movie of all time.
I think that's going to go down pretty soon. But
I don't think it will.
It is.
I mean, hey, if you think Star Wars is going to do it, they're going to have to repackage some deleted scenes and re-release the movie in IMAX exclusive fashion. To beat Endgame, they're going to have to do a lot of work. Endgame will be the biggest box office movie for a long time. And one of the stars of that movie, her catchphrase was everywhere. People cried over it.
You say catchphrase. I say model number.
Oh, man. Okay. You're derailing everything. But let's go ahead. From Avengers Endgame, we have Morgan Stark, Lexi Rabe, the young female actress, will be coming to GeekCon this year. I had an opportunity to meet her and her family earlier this year. They are fantastic people. She is a little ball of energy, loves taking pictures with kids, loves signing autographs. So she will be doing all of that at GeekCon this year.
Yeah. Tony Stark's android daughter will be
here. See, there you go. I knew it was coming.
Hey, it is a popular fan theory, and if you go back and watch the movie and plug in those little theories, it makes a lot of stuff that didn't make sense make total sense.
You know what? Maybe she has the answer. Maybe Lexi knows if she was actually playing Tony Stark's real daughter or created android daughter. I've also seen the theory online that she didn't ever exist.
Yeah,
that she was just a figment of his imagination.
I love you, 3000.
You're saying that the 3000 is the model number?
Yeah.
She was the 3000th attempt?
Yep.
She's Mark 3000?
Yeah.
All right, that's a little bit of a stretch, but Morgan Stark from Avengers Endgame will be coming to GeekCon 2020.
Your favorite Marvel android coming to town.
Also from the Godzilla movie, the recent Godzilla movie. Yep. She was in that,
King
too.
King of Monsters.
Yep. Okay, well, that's it. All right, we're done.
No, we're not.
Yeah, we're done.
We got another guest announcement at the very least.
Oh, really?
Yeah, one that's a little bit bigger than that, at least to me.
A little bit bigger personally to you? Because, I mean, we just announced somebody who was one of the stars of the biggest box office movie of all time.
Yeah,
so.
But she's no Shooter McGavin.
Yeah, okay, yeah, got me there. Christopher McDonald, the actor who played Shooter McGavin in Happy Gilmore, will be coming to Shreveport's GeekCon this August.
Damn right he will.
That is a big one. That personally for me is also a big deal, but I don't know if you want to, you know, argue that the star of the biggest box office movie of all time versus Shooter McGavin.
Oh, no, the star of the biggest movie of all time is definitely Shooter McGavin. She's just a little android kid.
Oh, right. Christopher McDonald's also been in a ton of other stuff, but really Shooter McGavin is what at least our generation is going to recognize him as. Even when I see him in something else, I'm like, oh, hey, Shooter McGavin.
Yeah, that's just his name now.
That is his name.
It's sort of like Chubb. Chubb.
It will be very difficult for me that weekend to not refer to Christopher McDonald as Shooter every time I see him.
I'm sure Shooter McGavin gets called Shooter McGavin all the shooting time.
So Lexi Rabe from Avengers Endgame and Shooter McGavin himself, Christopher McDonald, both on the way for GeekCon 2020. Those are the two big announcements. And again, when you're hearing this will depend. I mean,
Merry Christmas. It's called the Christmas special. I don't care if you listen to it in August.
Yep. So there you go. Okay. It is the Christmas special and the Christmas presents. Again, this will be a quick episode, so we'll take a very short break and we'll be back with another little fun tidbit.
The Con Men Podcast is brought to you by GeeksCon, Shreveport's Comic-Con. You can find ticket and vendor information at geekscon.com.
It's the Con Men Podcast. Greg Adams over here and Puff over there. We just made the guest announcements. We've got everything out of the way, so now we can just have a little Christmas fun.
Pew, pew.
We usually do... Why do you keep doing that?
Shooter. Pew, pew.
Pew, pew. Does it sounds disrespectful to Shooter McGavin.
Well, we all see what happened to him in the movie.
All right, so usually at this point, we tell a story. We have a little Chewbacca head full of little... questions about geek cons from the past and some questions about the future. Instead of doing that, I just want to ask this random question. Not really random. It's the Christmas special. So I just thought of a caveat that I have to add to this. Mm. What is your favorite Christmas movie not named Die Hard?
Oh. Hmm. Batman Returns would be on that list, even though it's really, looking back at it and watching it now as an adult, it's super creepy and it kind of made me feel weird last time I watched
it. Because we were just talking about how much of a Christmas movie that is, and then you just watched it and realized that that movie has a lot of issues.
I don't know if I call them issues. It's just weird. And like, Tim Burton's always weird and creepy, but like, you watch Batman Returns, it's on a whole nother level of weird and creepy.
But even just the differences between the first Michael Keaton Batman and Batman Returns.
I'm glad they didn't make a third one. It probably would have ruined my childhood.
Well, it probably would have looked a lot like the Joel Schumacher Batman with Jim Carrey and Two-Face.
No, they actually started planning for it, and Tim Burton just didn't want to do it for whatever reason. There was going to be Damon Wayans was going to be Robin. There was a whole weird thing that was going to go down.
I don't know that I've ever seen that.
Oh, you got to Google it sometime. But after watching Batman Returns, it scares me to even think about what a third movie in that series would have been like.
But it is a Christmas movie.
I mean, also on that list, while we're talking about Tim Burton, Edward Scissorhands.
You're just going to come up with the most awkward Christmas movies to put on your list, right?
No. Edward Scissorhands just makes you feel good. That's a feel-good movie.
No.
Yes, when he makes it snow in the town, it's just, aw. You watch Edward Scissorhands.
I struggle sometimes with what my favorite is. It changes positions a lot depending on which one I recently watched. But I think Elf is a tremendous Christmas movie.
Never seen it.
What?
Yeah, never seen it.
You've never seen Elf?
Nope.
I want you to go in the other room and watch Elf right now.
I was in the middle of watching Doom Patrol, maybe after I finished that. But yeah, never seen Elf.
I cannot believe you've... Wow. Wow.
I don't have kids. I have no reason to watch it.
I watched it before I had kids.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't go around telling people that.
It's a tremendous Christmas movie.
Will Ferrell just gets on my nerves. What do you want from me?
All right. Well,
outside of Anchorman,
I want you to not be so awkward, bud. I'm trying to think of what the other... there's another Christmas movie that I watch every year. Well, Nightmare Before Christmas. You can watch that a lot between Halloween and Christmas. It's great.
Also a Tim Burton movie.
It is, yes.
That was
yes.
Next on my thing before you started rolling off.
Well, I started rolling off when all of a sudden you're like Edward Scissorhands.
It's a Christmas movie.
You need to immediately maneuver in there to try and save that. I kind of like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, although now, because I love Yukon Cornelius. One of the best movie characters of all time. But in hindsight now, the whole you're different, so we're going to exile you. Oh, hey, we need to use your difference to get our stuff done. So can you be our friend now, even though we were jerks to you for 20 years? That to me is...
Yeah, but he still got a prominent job. He ended up being happy. That's all that's
did he? Was he happy, though?
Yeah, as happy as any other middle-aged man in America.
Rudolph is...
I don't have a red nose.
Rudolph is still fun to watch for Yukon Cornelius, but outside of that, it... Yeah, it doesn't leave a good taste in my mouth at this point. I'm missing one that I always watch around Christmas, and I can't think of what it is.
Way to make it awkward, buddy.
Yeah, there you go. You're just... All right. I'll tell you, how about this one? I will give you the worst Christmas movie. I would rather watch 100 Hallmark Christmas movies before I watch A Christmas Story again.
I like A Christmas Story, but after seeing it a couple of times, I don't need to watch it on a 24-hour loop for 3 days.
I don't ever want to see it again. I get all the jokes are fun and cheeky and cool to quote, and you can make a couple memes out of them, But I don't need to watch that movie. And maybe it's because I feel so far away from that era.
Well, I think TNT or TBS just killed it because they literally put it on a 24-hour loop for a week.
But even when I watched it the first time, I feel so far removed from what they're talking about. Like, I missed some of the references. I didn't grow up in that era. I don't know what a lot of this is about. It misses the mark for me. So maybe the same way that you hate Will Ferrell movies and hate Elf, because apparently you hate Elf.
I don't hate Elf. I've just never seen it.
It's been out for this long, and you've never watched it. You hate it. You haven't watched it for a reason.
I just don't like Will Ferrell movies.
So you hate Will Ferrell, and you hate Elf the same way I hate A Christmas Story.
I dislike Will Ferrell, and I don't have an opinion about Elf because I've never seen it, Gregory.
You hate Will Ferrell, and you hate Elf.
I hate you right now.
I guess we could just keep talking about Christmas movies, or we could wrap it up because it is the Christmas special and people probably have things to do.
Bah, humbug.
So, wow, really?
You just killed my Christmas spirit. Congratulations. Thanks, Greg.
I'm about to drop an F-bomb on you.
I'm about to drop an F-bomb on you.
Merry Christmas.
Fudge.